Matthew 18, it reads, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does not he leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of our Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." He'll leave the 99 to go to get the one. It's not his will that any of these should perish. Let us pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you for this morning, for this is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, Father. Thank you and praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, him whom you said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," Father. We thank you and we praise you for sending him to make a way for sinful men to come unto you. Your word says, "What is man that you are mindful of him? What is man that you are mindful that you would send your Son to take the place of sinners, to bear your wrath upon the cross, that which we deserve, Lord? We cannot thank you enough for what you've done for us, O Lord." And we know that he came, and he came back to you, Father, and he sits at your right hand. But you did not leave us alone, that you sent your Holy Spirit to comfort us, to guide us, to grow us, to keep us, to seal us, and we thank you that you have revealed yourself as the triune God who saves sinners, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would prepare my heart, that you would calm me, Father, that you would hide me behind your cross, that you would use me now. Lord, you prepare your people to hear the truth of your word, Lord, and just ask now that you would use us for your glory, Father. I pray that you will be glorified right now, Lord. Lord, this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning again. I'm a little bit more relaxed now. I'd like to thank Pastor Joseph for this privilege and this opportunity to stand before you. I don't get this opportunity that much, to stand inside of a church to preach God's word. Used to standing outside on the street corner, declaring his truth. Sometimes there are people there, and sometimes there aren't. Because God is worthy, I'm still going to preach his word, and I just want to say thank you for this privilege and this opportunity to do this. He talked about our trip across Canada last year. Me and my friends, we went back. So we spent 3 months traveling across Canada. We drove 15,000 miles. We went from the East Coast to the West Coast. This time, we had support of churches there. We were invited into churches. We preached in churches. We did evangelism training in some of those churches there. And we pray God was glorified. And we pray for the sowing of the seed that was sown, we pray that he would give it life. And I tell you this so you can pray for these things also, that God's word is going forth each and every day, even when we don't know about it, even though we might not be sowing the seed. And I'm a part of a ministry called Cross Country Evangelism, and my ministry partner Mike Stockwell is here. When we're done with today's service, we're driving to St. Louis to preach God's truth there also. And I ask that you would continue to pray for us, pray for our ministry. We're gonna, after we go to St. Louis, we're gonna part. I'm gonna go to Colorado. He's gonna come back here to the east, and then we're gonna meet in Jamaica. The next time we'll minister together will be in Jamaica. We usually go there for the month of January or for most of January. We preach the gospel there on the streets in all the large cities. So we pretty much travel around the island declaring God's truth. We've been doing this. This will be our sixth year. I ask that you would pray for the laborers there. I know that God is going to do a great work there. I pray that God will bring a revival to the people of Jamaica. It's just a beautiful place, but I believe that it's steeped in darkness, just like most places. Just steeped in darkness. That's why God has raised up laborers to go out into the harvest. And after that, our next big outreach will be the Super Bowl in Phoenix, Arizona. And then So those are the biggest things that we have coming up. And I ask that you would pray for me, pray for Mike, pray for our team as we go out to share God's truth, to share His Word. The title of my message this morning is called The Comfort of the Good Shepherd. And yeah, we should be comforted by the Good Shepherd. We know that God is the Great Shepherd. He's also the Chief Shepherd. We know that He's the Good Shepherd. I want to talk about God as being the Good Shepherd today. God has given you, God, a shepherd to shepherd you, as you being the flock, Pastor Joseph. I love him dearly. And I can tell you this about Pastor Joseph is that he loves you all. Every time we talk, he tells me about you. So he has a great love for you. And I just want to encourage you to love your shepherd. Pray for your shepherd. Pray that God would send him a wife. But pray for your shepherd. And I love his heart, his zeal, and his love for the Lord and his love for the lost. Like I said, I spent 20 years in the Air Force, so I haven't really been around too many sheep. And we know, I'm going to preach from Psalm 23, so if you want to go ahead and turn to Psalm 23. I haven't really been around too many sheep, and I imagine most of you haven't either. You know, we won't usually see them at like the petting zoo or something like that. And as being in the military, I had an opportunity to go somewhere in England. And we did some training with the Royal Air Force. And the place we were at had all kinds of sheep all over the place. And pretty much that was the closest that I've been around sheep. And today I'm going to talk about Jesus being the Good Shepherd. I haven't really been around shepherds, but I wanted to know kind of what shepherding was like. So what did I do? I went to YouTube. And I saw a video on YouTube of shepherds calling their sheep. The sheep hearing the shepherd's voice and the sheep coming. You can Google it on YouTube, and you can look for it on YouTube, and it actually happens. They know the shepherd's voice and the sheep come. It's just an amazing thing to see this happen. Brother Michael, he talked about, from Genesis, he talked about Jacob. Sheep in the Middle East were a sign of wealth. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they had sheep. They were wealthy men. In the ancient Middle East, sheep were precious symbols of wealth. Their wool provided yarn for clothing. Their bodies were preferred for sacrifice. Yet sheep are dependent creatures who must be guided to food and water and protected from wild animals. Sheep must really be led and managed. They need constant care. And we know that God is our shepherd. Sheep cannot survive alone in the wild. They must always be in the company of the shepherd. The Middle Eastern shepherd loved the sheep, gave each one of them names. He cared for each one of them tenderly. And many a shepherd interposed himself between the wild beast and the sheep. And at night, the shepherd would lay down and sleep as a single doorway to a sheepfold. And if an enemy would try to pass and attack him, he would be there to protect the flock. Imagine when they would go up and set up these sheepfolds. They would take their sheep out, and there might be areas already set up where they could protect the sheep. They would put the sheep inside the sheepfold, and they would lay in front as the barrier. So let's go ahead and look at Psalm 23. I'll read Psalm 23, and this is how it reads. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here we're going to look at Psalm 23. I'm going to kind of break it up into three parts. Verses 1 through 4, we see the Lord as a leader. In verses 5 and 6, we see him as provider and the gracious host. And we see David's response to God being his leader and being his gracious host in verse 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David, him once being a shepherd boy, sees himself now as being the sheep, speaking as one of the sheep, looking at his owner, him looking to God, the Lord. He is the Lord, boasting in the Lord. David's soul is stirred. Do you ever wander to belong with the Lord, to be with him? Is your heart stirred when you hear the name of the Lord, when you think of the name of the Lord? Here we see David. His heart is stirred. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is that your prayer? Is that how you feel about the Lord? You have nothing to worry about because he is your Lord, you shall not want. This is what it says. David calls God Lord. He says, and God says that he is the shepherd. That he is the shepherd. In Ezekiel 34, verse 11 to 13, for thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. God searches out his sheep. He goes and looks for them. See, at this time, the shepherds weren't taking care of the sheep. And God says, forget them, I'm your shepherd. And he goes on to say, he says, my servant, David, he's going to be your shepherd. He'll feed you. He'll be your shepherd. He said, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken. God has spoken his word. It's going to be true that he would send David to be the shepherd. See, but David had already passed. David had already died. But God would send one through David's line, Jesus, to be that shepherd. This is what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2. For you were like sheep gone astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls, Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Isn't it interesting that David, who was the shepherd, saw himself as one of the sheep? And God would send the Lamb of God, who would come to take away the sins of the world, that he would set him up to be that shepherd. This is what it says in John chapter 10, verses 10 through 16. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Christ came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. This is what Jesus said. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he was not the shepherd. One who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is the hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. And the Father knows me, even I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep which I have not in this fold, them also I will bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. His sheep hear his voice, and they come. This is good news. This is why we go out to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Because his sheep will hear his voice, because God has fashioned them. He's given them ears to hear. But what is it that we see? One of my friends made an observation. We were down in Jamaica. There were sheep and goats out back behind the building. But when they made noises, they sounded the same. They sounded the same. God's sheep hear his voice. See, this is how I grew up in the church. I couldn't hear his voice. I thought I was one of his sheep. But eventually I heard God's word. And I heard his call. He had given me ears that I could hear his truth. And I remember me, one of my friend Mike, my ministry partner, we had some turkeys to give away for Thanksgiving. And we went and we prayed and asked God to show us where we needed to give these turkeys away. And we found this neighborhood, and we met this lady who needed food for Thanksgiving. She had no food. A church van had pulled up, and we asked the driver, do you know somebody who needs some food for Thanksgiving? The driver said, yeah, this lady right here. She was just telling us she has no food for Thanksgiving. So we're like, great. Ma'am, can we take the food up to your apartment? She's like, yes. So we carried the food up to the apartment. We get inside the apartment. There wasn't anything in the apartment. Nothing. Hardly anything. There might have been a chair, something over in the corner. We take the food in the kitchen. We open up the refrigerator. There isn't anything in there. So we take the food out of the basket. We put it inside the fridge and leave some stuff there on the counter. And then we're standing in the doorway getting ready to leave. I said, man, we're giving you this food, but we have one more thing to give you. We need to give you the good news of the gospel. And the lady, she said this. She said, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I lead the usher board at my church. I've been doing that for 35 years. I said, but are you born again? I said, are you born again? And her face dropped. And she said, no. No. So my friend and I, we shared the gospel with her. She said, I've never heard anything like this before. This is the best day of my life. I don't know what God did with that woman. And I pray that God saved her. But I believe that God gave her ears to hear the truth of his word on that day. His sheep hear his voice. Here, also, God talks about the hirelings. Those who run away because they don't care about the sheep. I want to say this as a warning, that there are people out there who pretend to love the sheep, and they're false teachers. They're false prophets, and the scriptures warn us about these people who will pervert the word of God for gain. They'll take advantage of you for gain. We see them on TV. People love them all around the world. They never open up the scriptures. They never talk about God's goodness. They never talk about his truth. They never talk about sin. They never talk about what you need to do to be saved. They never call people to cry out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Osteens of the world. I'm talking about the Creflo Dollars of the world. I'm talking about the T.D. Jakes of the world. I'm talking about the Joyce Meyers of the world. These people who will rob you, will steal from you. And there are plenty of warnings in the scriptures about these people. If you don't believe me, Matthew 7. Look at Matthew 7. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the verse 4. Look at the book of Jude. Jude was writing to encourage the saints about the gospel, but he stopped to warn them about these people. Paul said he preached for 20 years and he knew that one day he was going to be taken away and that the wolves would come in to destroy the flock. So I want to warn you to be alert for those who seek to deceive you, who do not open up the word of God and proclaim God's truth from his word. God calls a sheep. I talked to you about the people that I believe that God has called as a sheep. If you look in the scriptures in the book of Luke, chapter 19, there's a man called Zacchaeus. He hears of Jesus coming by. Zacchaeus climbs up in a tree, and Jesus is walking by with a great crowd of people, and he looks up at Zacchaeus and tells him to come down. He's going to dine at his house. I believe that Zacchaeus had ears to hear that he was one of God's children. He was of the children of Abraham, and he heard the call of God, and he came down. And then there are other accounts in the Gospels of Jesus going, crossing over the Sea of Galilee, going to a place where there's a man in the tombs, and the man is crazy. He's got shackles on him. He rips off his clothes, and nobody wants to go near him. But I believe he hears the gospel. Jesus cleanses him of the demon that is within him. And the man is in his right mind. He's cleaned up. And he wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus said, no, you go back and tell your people all that God has done for you. He heard the call. He had ears to hear. So what does he do? The man goes back. And he tells the people all that Jesus, God, had done for him, one of his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Nor riches, nor materialism, or the things of the world. We shouldn't have any need for anything. We should be trusting in God and allowing him to provide for us and take care of us and meeting our needs. And we should be utterly content with what God provides for us. But yet many of us want more. And I think this sometimes is a symptom of those who are perverting God's word, saying that we should have all these things, that we should look like the world, that we should have the things of the world. We should be having the things of God. And we should desire to seek and be with Him and be content with the things that He has provided for us already. He's the one that gives His life to the sheep. They may have life more abundantly. You see, the things of this world, they're going to pass away. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? See, that's the thing that's most important. Where will you spend eternity? Where is your soul going to spend eternity? And God in His mercy and in His grace laid down His life to save His sheep, those who have ears to hear, those who hear Him calling, that we might have life and life abundantly. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. The shepherd leads. He knows what's best for the sheep. He brings us to a place that is free from fear, from tension, aggravation, and hunger. And if he doesn't do this, the sheep won't rest. They won't rest. He leads them to the green pastures. And this is a place that they would go and feed. Imagine the shepherd taking his sheep and weaving them around, and he brings them up to a place that is just a beautiful field of beautiful green grass. The place that I went to college, I went to a little boys and girls school out in Colorado called the Air Force Academy. And if you looked out there, we had this nice, beautiful parade field. And when you looked out there, there were always animals on it, mainly deer, and they were just out there eating the grass. And here the shepherd brings his sheep to the green pasture so they can feed. So what is it that we as the sheep should be feeding on? We should be feeding on God's work. Jesus said this when Satan came to tempt him. He says, "It is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So I want to encourage you to read your word, that you should dine in God's word and come to know who He is through His word. This is what it says in Ezekiel back in chapter 34 again. "I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down," says the Lord. So God will feed us through His word. "Now godliness with contentment is great gain." That's what it says in 1 Timothy. In Philippians 4, 11 through 13, it says this: "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state that I am to be content. And I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, to both abound and to suffer and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." This isn't something that talks about, you know, God is just going to give us whatever we want and allow us because He's going to strengthen us. This is saying that we're going to trust Him in whatever state that we're in, that we can trust Him because He'll strengthen us. We can do all of these things because He strengthens us, because He feeds us, and He takes care of us. He makes it so we can have peace and so we can have rest. God's sheep have rest. Those who belong to God, those who are sheep, they have rest. And those who don't have God, they won't have rest. That's what His word says. This is what it says in Isaiah 57. It says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." Those who are outside of Christ, they might think that they have peace. They have a false peace. The world offers a false peace. The world will tell you everything is okay, but it's only offering a false peace, not realizing that one day they're going to stand before Him and give an account. Those who think that they can do whatever it is that they want, they can take the lives of their children in the womb, that they can go around cutting off heads of people in the name of their religion, of their false god, people who seek after their own pleasures, the pleasures of this world, And they think that they have peace because they think the world revolves around them. And one day they're going to give an account. It says the wicked are like a troubled sea. That's why they fear. That's why they fear men, because they have no peace. This is what it says in Isaiah 59. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are the thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their past. The way of peace they have not known. And there is no justice in their ways, and they have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. You'll never know peace outside of Jesus Christ. Destruction comes, and they will seek peace, and there shall be none. They'll seek peace, and there won't be any. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul, the center of our being. The only way that we can get restored is that we have to be born again. And this is a work done by God, not anything that we can do. It's not by us being a good person. It's not by us how well we take care of our family or paying our tithes or coming to church. It's that we have to be born again. That is a work that God has to do, that he has to take out our hearts of stone and give us a heart of flesh, that he would make us alive, that he would make us a new creation created in Christ Jesus. You see, a shepherd, he watched over the sheep, but sometimes the sheep would get flipped upside down. It's called casting. And they would lay on their backs, and they had their little legs that would be kicking up and down, and they couldn't take care of themselves. They couldn't flip themselves back over. They struggled to stand up without success. They would bleat for help, or whatever noise that they make. And they could be in this position and die. But we have the comfort of the Good Shepherd, that he restores us, that he can flip us back over. And this is what it says in Psalm 42. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Psalm 56. For you have delivered my soul from death. You have not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. We all know the story of Peter. He denies Christ 3 times. He couldn't keep awake as Christ went and prayed. But Jesus restores him. He restores him. He says, feed my lambs. He says, tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. And he asks him each time. He says, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Jesus restored him. Do you love Jesus? Do you have a heart for Christ? Do you go to him when you feel discontented? Do you go to him when you feel turned upside down? Do you cry out to him that he would restore you? That he would bring you back to a place that you would be restored back to him? Or do you just try to do it on your own? Are you puffed up in pride? The Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He'll come and flip you back over. We have to humble ourselves before God, just as Peter was humbled before God, back in the presence of God. He told him to go feed his sheep. And God doesn't do this for our sakes. He does it for his. He does it for his glory, for his righteousness, because of who he is. The path of righteousness, him moving the sheep, us being creatures of habit. We want to go our own way, but God keeps us moving in the right direction. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end leads to death. Imagine the sheep, if they went the wrong way, falling off a cliff. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We talked about him earlier about being a gate. He's a narrow gate that we have to go through. The gate of the sheepfold. So he keeps us on that narrow path, not for our sake, but for his. That he would get glory out of what he does. This is what it says in Mark chapter 8, verse 34. When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let them deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me. We must be willing to humble ourselves before him and follow after him. He'll guide us in the direction that we need to go. And like I said, it's not for our righteousness, but for Christ's righteousness. For God's righteousness. This is what it says in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because of his forbearance, him forbearing with us, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that we might be just and that he might be just and the justifier of those who have faith in Jesus Christ. God, who is righteous, he makes the path. He takes the sheep and he keeps us on the path. It's God's work from beginning to end. The salvation, him taking us and growing us in his word and in his truth and leading us and guiding us, it's for his righteousness. It's on his path. He takes care of us. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Shadow of death. It just reminds me, thinking about death. Those who don't have Christ, those who don't have peace, they fear death. Almost 2 years, my mom passed away. 2 years ago. She had to go in for an emergency surgery. And I just remember her saying this, the last thing that she said. She says, I'm not afraid. My mom, a godly woman who walked with the Lord for 30 plus years, we didn't know she was going to pass away in the surgery, but she said in her little voice, I'm not afraid. God makes it to what Christ did on the cross to take away that sting of death. Hades has no victory over those, over Christ. He has defeated sin, he has defeated death, he has defeated the power of sin for us. That we can walk in what he has done, so we don't have to fear death. Men fear death and we fear men. And Jesus said that we shouldn't fear men. We should fear God. Men need to fear God. We need to fear God. As God's people, we need to be in awe of God. And unsaved men need to be in fear of God also. And men act the way that they do because they don't fear God. The world acts the way that it does because it doesn't fear God. There's no fear of God before their eyes. We should make it. We should go declare God's truth. We should go and witness to our neighbor that they would come to know the one true God, that they would tremble before God. Because when men tremble before God, they start to come to their senses. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When men start to stir about standing before God, they'll seek after Christ. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to go and share the truth of God's word with people, that they would be in fear of him, not of other men. Man can't do anything to us. They need to fear God. And when men fear God, they'll come to their senses. That's true knowledge, to fear God. Now, David, he talks about the rod and the staff. These are symbols of the shepherd. And usually you find them together. When I was in the Air Force, I served as a police officer. And one of the symbols that we had was a beret, a war beret. Everybody else in the Air Force, they wore kind of a cap. But police officers, we wore berets. So we stood out from the crowd. So if people needed help, they would come to us. They could recognize us easily in the crowd because we had the beret on. Now the shepherd, he carried a rod and a staff. The rod was kind of like a club. It was an extension of his arm. This is probably what David used to kill the lion and the bear. It's a symbol of strength, power, and authority. Again, it's God's word, a picture of God's word. Jesus, again, uses God's word to talk to Satan. He doesn't appeal to his own authority. He appeals to the authority of the word of God. And the staff is probably something that was made, handcrafted for the shepherd. It had a little hook on the end. And he would use the staff to pick up like the new ewe lambs to, to comfort them as they walk on the green pastures. You know, kind of like little children. You know, you see them, they have that safety blanket. You know, they carry that blanket and they drag it around with them. The shepherd could kind of use a staff in the same manner as he was walking with the sheep. He could, you know, just kind of rub them on the side with the staff. And just thinking about that, for us today, it's kind of like the Holy Spirit. You know, God, the shepherd, Jesus Christ, the shepherd, he sends the Holy Spirit. Here we see the picture of the triune God working to take care of the sheep. God sends the Holy Spirit to be our helper. This is what Jesus said in John 14. He says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name, he will teach you in all things and bring you to remembrance of all things that I said. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So there, like the staff, is like our comfort. And the comfort comes from the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know that we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart and knows that the minds of what the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's from Romans chapter 8. In Galatians 5, we know the fruits of the Spirit. Now verse 5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." So we have a table that's prepared in the presence of the enemies. David was probably thinking of a mesa, probably a high up area or some kind of table. And for the shepherd to go to prepare this table, our great shepherd, he laid down his life. It cost a lot to prepare the table for us. The shepherd laid down his life. He bore the wrath of God. He was the man of sorrows. Christ, who lived the perfect life on this earth, the Bible says that he went to the cross without saying a mumbling word. And on that cross, the sky became dark. And in that darkness, God poured out his wrath upon his Son. The wrath that we deserve as sinners. Those who have broken God's law. Those who have sinned against the Lord. We deserve God's wrath. But God, in preparing the table that we could come and not fear of our enemies, he went and bore our wrath. All the curses of God's word and all of his truth, the eternal God-man, bore those upon his body. He says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. It says it pleased the Father to crush his Son. God crushed his Son. He prepared the table. And we can come. Our enemies. In the presence of our enemies. Satan, our enemy. Him who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. Him who seeks to devour God's people. See, we have to be adopted out of his kingdom. You see, there are some who haven't heard God's voice. Whom Satan is their father, or Satan is their leader, and they don't even realize it. And God, in his mercy and his grace, has removed the veil from our eyes, those who are his sheep. But those whom the veil hasn't been removed, the wrath of God abides upon them. Either Christ bore your wrath, or you'll bear it for all of eternity. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Jesus, now let me talk about the sheep. The anointing of the sheep's head with oil was to protect it from flies and other insects. You know, being in the military, for my basic training, or for some of my training, I went to New Jersey. And they said, "We're going to the beach." But actually, we went and crawled around in the sand up there. But it was during the summertime, so we had to check for ticks and all kinds of other bugs. It's hot and sweaty. And the same thing with the sheep. They don't have arms. They can't reach in their ears and do all this other stuff. So the shepherd would take some oil and rub it on their oil around the ears and the nose to keep the flies and things from irritating them. That's one way that the oil can be used. And it's also a symbol of gladness. In the cup, it talks about abundance. Prepared for the child of God who may feast in spite of his enemies, having confidence in the favor that is intended to him, the favor that we get from God. Anointing was an ancient custom practiced by the Egyptians and afterwards by the Greeks and Romans and other nations. Olive oil was used either as pure or mixed, fragrant and costly spices, often brought from long distances. And with the oil running down, we see this in coronation of kings. You can read about it in the Psalms and 2 Kings and Psalm 133. Thus Jesus accuses Simon of lacking love because he doesn't anoint Jesus' head and his feet. Here David represents himself as an honored guest of the Lord who prepares a table for him, hospitably anointing him and pouring out for him such an abundance that the cup overflows. It says in verse 6, "Surely good and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Here we see David just rejoicing because he has his leader, he has his provider, his comforter taking care of him, and he rejoices. We should rejoice in the Lord, in him who is taking us from the grave and has allowed us to be anointed by him, that we can dine at his banquet table, that we have eternal life, that we get to spend eternity with him. See, it reminded me of this man named Mephibosheth. He was a son of Jonathan. Jonathan and David. David and Jonathan, they were great friends. They loved each other. Mephibosheth was a son of Jonathan. David, for some reason, he says, "Is there somebody from Saul's family?" Jonathan was a son of Saul. "Is there somebody from Saul's family who I can bless?" And they said, "Yeah, Mephibosheth. Yeah, there's still one. This young man named Mephibosheth. He was lame in his legs when he was just born. Somebody dropped him, so his legs were lame, and they had hit him because David was now king over what used to be Saul's kingdom." They said, "Is there one?" And they brought this young man to him. And he says, "King, why have you called me? I'm nothing but like a dog before you." He says, "You're going to come and dine at my table. As long as you live, you're going to come and dine at my table." David showed kindness to him. He didn't deserve it. Usually what you do to your enemies is that you kill them all. But he showed kindness. See, that's what God shows us. We don't deserve to come to his banquet table. But God shows us kindness, his grace, that we can come and dine at his banquet table, that we can spend eternity with him and dine at his banquet table. Psalm 23, I believe this is something that we should memorize to keep us focused on Christ, to keep us looking towards Christ, to keep our eyes focused on him. In this little psalm itself, we see all the Old Testament names that God has for himself in just this psalm alone. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord will heal and restore. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. For the people of God, the name Yahweh Raha is one of the most esteemed. God is the pastor of his people. He loves them, he feeds them, he guides them, he guards them, keeps them from our enemies. In the New Testament, God is present in Jesus Christ as a good shepherd that lays down his life for sheep. Jesus is to his sheep, and that he's all that we should need. Think about it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We need to think about it this way. The Lord is my shepherd. What more shall I want? We need to read and study our word. This is where we're going to find comfort. This is where we're going to learn and know who God is and all the promises that he's had for us. There's so many people out there who believe themselves to be Christian but don't want to have anything to do with God's word. I remember one of my friends telling me, she goes, I pray to God all the time. Now, I've witnessed to this young lady. I've given her a Bible. I send her gospel tracts. She goes, I pray to God all the time. I said, so what does he say to you? She goes, I can't hear him. I said, I asked her this. I said, do you read your Bible? She says, no. How are you going to know what God's voice sounds like if you don't read your Bible? So I want to encourage you to read your Bible, to pray, to commune with God, that he would be first in your life, that you would see him as your good shepherd, that you would be comforted by him. You would be comforted in his word and in his truth, that you would grow to love him, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. That's what the shepherd does. Peace for the believer, unrest for those who are trusting in Christ. I encourage you, saints, to love the Lord. Rest and walk in the peace of Christ Jesus. And for those of you who don't know the Lord, I want to warn you that one day that false peace that you're living in is going to run out. That one day you're going to stand before God and give an account of your life. Of the life that you live now. Of the things that you do now, the living in rebellion against him. You know, thinking that it's okay to live your life the way that you live it, but one day you're going to give an account. The Bible says that the great books are going to be opened up. And if your name isn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Because that's what you deserve. That's what we all deserve. But if you're not trusting in Christ right now, if you don't have the peace of God upon you right now, I want to warn you that you need to flee the wrath that is to come. That you need to turn from your sin and you need to turn and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, him who is God in the flesh, him who came and lived the perfect life, him who walked on water, him who opened the eyes of blind men, him who called dead men from the grave. Him who spoke to the winds and the seas and they obeyed him. Him who is God in the flesh. You see, God the Spirit isn't going to judge you. God has given all things to the Son to judge. The Son who is the man, the God-man, Christ Jesus the Lord, who sits upon his throne, you will stand and give an account to him. If you're not trusting in him, if you haven't turned from your sin, if you haven't turned from the things of the world, you get what you deserve. Get what you deserve. And what we all deserve is death, is hell. The wrath of God abides upon you right now. Him who is the good shepherd. His sheep hear his voice. I pray that if you're not right with God, that you've heard his voice today and that you would come to him. That you would repent. That you would turn from your sin. That you would count the cost of the things of this world and that you would say, I don't want any of this. I want the shepherd, that you would turn. You would turn and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who is alive today. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can have rest in Christ today. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Heed the words of God today, my friend. Flee the wrath that is to come. Flee to the Lamb. Flee into the arms of the Good Shepherd while there's still time. Father, I thank you. I praise you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you are God, that you are Lord. Lord, that you are the Good Shepherd, that you leave the 99 for the one, that you will go and find your sheep, Father. I pray that you... There's somebody who doesn't know you here today, Father, that you would call them out of the darkness into the light, O Lord. Lord, that you would move upon their hearts, that you would grant them eternal life, that you would have mercy upon their souls, Father. Lord, I pray for the sheep of this flock, oh Lord. I pray that you would give them humble hearts, that you would give them hearts to love your word, that you would give them hearts to love you, oh Lord. Lord, that they would love their shepherd that you've placed over this flock, Father God. Lord, that you would give them hearts to go out into the world to tell them about you, the good shepherd. Lord, that you would stir them up to do the work. Lord, you being the Lord of the harvest, we pray that you would raise up laborers to go into the harvest, Father God, because you are worthy, because you are righteous, for your righteousness' sake, because of your Son, for your kingdom, O Lord. Lord, stir up our hearts, Lord, and yet let us find comfort and peace in you and who you are, Lord. I thank you and I praise you for this time, for the privilege to preach and share your word with your people, Father. Lord, I can't say thank you enough, Lord, for I am not worthy. I'm not worthy, Lord. I just thank you and I praise you. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and